to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven.
Chapter 2. I want to ask you to pray for our pastor. As you know, that he, Brother Tony, is going to out to Texas, but first he's going to be dropping his daughter off, Taylor, to college, and then he and Danita will be traveling on over to Texas to pick his dad up. They're going through some hard times right now, leaving their daughter in college. Do you remember how hard that was? That was a difficult time for you, but also his mom and dad both are going through some physical things in their life, and we need to keep Brother Tony and his family in our prayers right now as they go through this. So let's keep him in our prayers. Thank you for letting me share with you from God's Word today. All of you here in the sanctuary and also those of you in the gym, thank you for letting me share God's Word with you today. And I want to title this message, if you don't mind, Learning the Deeper Things of God Found in These Scriptures. I'm not going to share with you the deeper things of God. I'm going to share with you learning the deeper things of God. It's up to you to learn the deep things of God. But I want to give you a little key here that'll help you out in learning some deep things. Some of you are already there and you've learned some deep things. Just a reminder how we can do this. So if you will allow me to get into God's Word, please stand with me as I read some of these verses. I won't read all of them, but maybe just five verses to begin with, and then we'll be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the power that lies there. Thank you for the deep things of God that we can discover there. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The man that just read the scriptures a while ago is our new minister, pastor of youth. He is an interim pastor and will be for a little while. Greg, thank you for reading those scriptures for us. And thank you for sharing with us and working with our children for a little while. Our youth. But I want to begin with these few scriptures and share with you, first of all, about the cross. Learning the deep things of God is about the cross. So we see those as we read these scriptures. Verse 2 first verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, but for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that is the cross. I don't know anything else to tell you, Paul says. So it's about the cross, learning the deeper things of cross until you of Christ. Until you know about the cross, you're not going to be able to learn the deeper things, because at the cross is where you get saved. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think about four verses there, you will see what the gospel is. But I'm going to tell you in five words, okay? 3 + 2. The gospel is this: the death, burial, and resurrection, two more words, of Christ. That's what the gospel is. If you want to know the deeper things of God, first of all, you have to begin somewhere. And that first place we want to begin is with the cross, with the gospel. If he was in the gospel of John in chapter 3, most of you know that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And he was thinking this: what must I do to be saved? How can I get to heaven? And Jesus heard his thoughts and he said to him, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. So we must be born again. We can't know the deeper things of God unless we are born again. Born again means born of the Spirit of God. Have you been born again? Well, how am I born again? It's all about the cross, and the cross is where Jesus' mission was. He had to go to the cross and die for our sins. He didn't die for his own. You know, he had no sin, but we surely have plenty. So that's why he died. So we ask him, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. So I ask you, would you forgive me of my sins? And Lord, I believe you was buried in a tomb. And I also believe that you rose again and you come back to life and that you live. Now I ask you, Lord, in prayer, please forgive me of my sins and now come into my heart and live. For I believe that you was resurrected. And now I want you resurrected in my heart. And when you do that by faith, then Jesus moves into your life and you now are filled with life. You are now filled with the Spirit of God because you invited him into your life. That is what is known as a born-again experience. If you have no born-again experience, you're still natural man. You have this the natural spirit that lives in you. God gave you when you were given life. So you're the natural man, natural woman, if you would. But there's such thing as a spiritual born. And that's how we're going to learn how to know the deeper things of God. Because we are born of the Spirit. We have everything we need to learn the deeper things of God. To be Spirit-filled. I used to think there was something great that I had to do in order for me to be filled with the Spirit of God. Well, folks, one of the first steps of that is simply to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul says here, I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. I'm not coming to you with excellency of speech. Remember, he's in Greece, and he's telling these people in Corinth, I don't have a lot of fancy words to share with you folks. Could he? Yes, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be as easy as he could explain this word and they could get a hold of it. It wasn't about him, wasn't about any fancy words, not even about convincing them. You see, we as pastors sometimes, we've been speaking for a long time and we can almost recognize a crowd every time and get them rolling. We can make you happy. We can make you sad. We can make you glad. We can make you angry about things, but we can make you so thankful in our speech. And Paul's saying, here's what I want to do. I want to come to you not with excellency of speech, but I want to come to you in fear and trembling so you can listen carefully to what God wants to tell you. Here's what happens to us sometimes, and especially with me, I've had to learn the hard way about sharing Christ with someone in the gospel. About what the cross means. And I want them to know Christ so bad that I almost say everything for them so they can pray the right prayer and know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And this is the very thing that Paul's is telling us to be aware of, be cautious of. When I share with someone about how they can be saved by trusting Christ and calling out to him, I need to be like Paul and say, it isn't what I say. It's what you learn as you listen to what God is telling you. At some time or other in your life, you felt God speaking to you and he began to tug in your heart. God speaks, sometimes he even shouts in the silence. And so you listen, and so you respond. And so now you're being moved by his presence and his Spirit. And that's what God wants from you. This is what Paul is trying to say. When you're ready to go into the deep things of God, be still. Be still a minute and let God speak to you. It's not so much the excellency of speech, not even in the books that you're reading about him, about his life and the deeper things of God. It's about listening. Being still for a minute and know that he is God and let him speak to you. So another thing that I've learned in leading someone to know Christ, and I'm camping here for just a minute, but not too long. But I'm learning this. You can teach someone everything you know. You can preach to them all you can. But if it isn't real from God, they may appear to know Christ for a season, for a while. They might even come to church and get involved. But then one day, it's amazing. It's almost like the rapture happened. Where did those folks go? I don't hear the name called out anymore. I don't see them anymore. What happened? Probably because they wanted to come to know Christ and they did everything that man told them to do. It isn't about what I say. It isn't about what I do. And it isn't all the things I tell them to do. It's about what the relationship is between them and God. I've seen people, I've seen someone in my own family back away from what they know is the right thing to do. And I think it's simply because we get too anxious at times for them to come to know Christ and learn all that we want them to know. And we haven't let them have that real, genuine acknowledgement of who Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, and let them on their own invite Christ in. You see, once Christ comes into your life and you meet Him, you're never going to be the same anymore. True worship, true experience with God is when you come face to face with God and you're never the same anymore. And that's what happens when we have a real relationship with God. Then I am now in position because I have the Spirit of God. I've invited Him into my life. I'll never be the same. But no one will be able to talk me out of walking with Christ. Whatever comes along in my life, no matter how serious it is, and I watch in all your lives, and I know by watching Oak Crest Baptist Church and the membership here, you guys walk so near unto God. You love Him, and it shows in your life, in your heart, in your conversations. No one's going to talk you out of that. We're living in an age now where people want to do that. I wanted to come here today and share with you about what I see going on around us in this world. I recall when I was in Florida Baptist College, our professor, one particular one that I really respected, professor of New Testament, Dr. J.D. Allen, he used to tell us, boys, when you see that we move into a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world bank, a one-world health system, beware, because we're getting really near unto God. And I graduated in 1975, I think. Is that right, Bobby? It's 1980. We started in 75. I think I graduated in 80. And I wanted to share with you so much about how to recognize the season and know that the end of the world is near. God's second coming is almost on top of us. And I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I also read in Matthew chapter 24. And some of you are aware of this. And all the seasons and all the signs that Jesus is coming again. Are we close? How many think we are? We're closer than we were yesterday for sure. But here's what I learned. Here's what God told me from all those scriptures. And I think it's in Matthew chapter 24 and somewhere around verse 42 or 44. He says, listen, just be ready. I'm going to tell you when. And all of us want to know when. He says, just read the signs. We don't know when. When might be another 100 years. When might be in a couple of days. We don't know when. We just know He's coming. So here's what I want to do. I just want to show you how to learn the deeper things of God. And it's quite interesting that Paul wanted that. Men are not willing to know God by faith alone, as the Jews did, as Brother Greg read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, 23, 24, I believe. He said, the Jews want a sign. They demanded a sign. They said, if I see it, then I'll believe it. And then the Greeks come along and they say, we want wisdom, something they can think through. Man's wisdom is wisdom he can master. God's wisdom is wisdom that will master you. And there is certainly a difference. And then we move over, if you would, real quickly. You will see in the latter part of these verses, folly, foolishness. Man thinks that the Word of God, especially those who seek after wisdom, they think God's Word is foolishness. I'm smarter than that. You're not going to trap me in that. I'm not going to follow you, a bunch of folks that are religious. But God takes the simple thing of preaching the gospel, teaching His word, so you and I can be, listen, born again, born of the Spirit, because the things of God will never make sense to you if you don't have the Spirit of God. Quickly, could I ask you to go to verse 10? I want to show you something in there. In case I don't get any further today, you need to see verse 10. It's really important for you. Look in your Bibles in verse 10, 9 and 10. But I'm going to jump down to 10. But God has revealed them to us through His what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. You will never know the things that are deep unto God. Matter of fact, you won't even know how to be saved. It'll all be silly to you. It'll be foolish to you. You want greater things. You want things that you can think through, things you can meditate on and learn from it. You don't learn those things about God. Why is that? If you wonder why it's so hard to take someone and lead them with the Lord, it's simply because they're either the natural or in the natural means they've never known Christ, never been born of the Spirit. Or perhaps they, in verse 3, you say, you'll see where in verses 1 through 4 or 5, he talks about the carnal. The carnal man is someone who has accepted Christ, but he never grows anymore. He's like a baby in Christ, and they can't learn the deeper things of God because they're wanting to understand by wisdom. And it doesn't come by wisdom, folks. The things you need to learn from God comes by the Spirit of God. God will send and has sent His Spirit into your life. And that Spirit revealed to you truths from God's Word. And now, because you have the Spirit and you have the Word of God, when you put the two together, now you're on a course that will set you into learning the deeper things of God. But you will never know those if you don't study His Word. See, the devil wants to keep us carnal Christian, not growing, not learning the deeper things of God. Always happy with that. If he can't prevent you from accepting Christ, he certainly will work hard at keeping you from growing in the Lord. So back to my scriptures, I'm going to try to pick up here with verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but it should be in the power of God. See, once I know the power of God, which comes to me by His Spirit, I see Him working in my life, and I see the power of God working in other folks' lives. I see Him working in circumstances of our life. We see something like COVID-19 we never heard of before in our life, but we see God's power working in a situation that we have no control over. Remember back in 9/11, we saw a people turn to God and begin to pray and to come to church for a while. But now COVID is here and it's trying to keep us out of church. And now we're fighting to get into church. There is nothing in this world like the power of God to then bless our nation and our people like the power of God. God has power over any disease. God has power over everything. He has power in your lives. When you send your child off in a car to drive for the first time, they're 16 years old and now they're driving, and you have to trust your child in an automobile at 16 years old, what do you do? What do you do? I know what you do. I know what you did when it happened to you. You began to pray. There's power in our precious Lord. Put your faith in Him. And see what only God can do. So trust Him with everything you've got. There is not a thing in this world more precious to you than your children or your family, your wife or your husband. By faith, trust God with everything you got and see the power of God by your faith in Him. But if you don't trust Him, you will never see that power. That's another way that you see the depths of God. And I hear you guys talk about all the time how God blessed me, how God delivered me. It comes because of the depth, and you don't even realize it, that you're growing more and more all the time in the Lord because, verse 10 says, you have the Spirit and you have the Word. And when you get those two together, you begin to get into deeper things of God. And your faith begins to grow. It's about our faith in our precious Lord. It's about the cross. That's where we began. And it's about our faith and our precious Lord. Let me move you to another in verse 7, if you would. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we come to you with God's wisdom. See, I can give you mine, and man will try to give you his. But there's nothing in the world that'll bless your soul like the wisdom that only God gives. So you search for God's wisdom. You search for it like it was the last thing in your life. I remember reading about a class that Socrates had. Socrates was teaching his class about wisdom. And there was this guy that kept saying he didn't know how to get wisdom, and he wanted it so bad. And he tried the things that Socrates had told him. And he couldn't get it, and he couldn't get it. And finally Socrates said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you, especially, the whole class is going to meet out at the lake next class time. So the next time they met out at the lake that was there on campus, and he carried this guy out to the lake, and he baptized him. He baptized him in that water, and he put him under the water, and he held him. And he held him. And he held him. And he held him some more. And pretty soon the old boy started wanting some oxygen. Got kind of rough under there. And he started twisting around trying to get up. Socrates held him down. Wouldn't let him up. He held him and he held him and he held him. And finally that guy just got everything in him that he could muster up. And he come up out of that water and he said, and Socrates said, when you want wisdom as bad as you want oxygen, you'll find wisdom. When you want wisdom, when you want to know the God like you really wanted oxygen. I mean, look at all of you. You're wearing masks. It's hard to breathe with that thing on. Just a sign God says we need Him more than anything in this world. Search for Him with all you've got. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained, a hidden wisdom of God. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't know how to be saved like you do today. And so God has opened that up to us in this New Testament that you own, that's in your lap, that you hold. Wisdom of God. How can I be born again? How can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? How can I know for sure that I can trust God every day with every situation of my life? It's found in God's wisdom. Let me move on to verse 9 again, if you would, please. This is learning the deep things of God. A lot of times when we read these verses, we only read verse 9. And we're familiar with verse 9. I want to read it, but please allow me to go to verse 10 again and read this with you. This is actually the key to this whole section here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10 is the key to that chapter. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Sometimes I have heard many people say, you don't know all the blessings that God has for you. You've never heard them. You can't see them. Your heart can't know them. Listen carefully. Yes, you can. Yes, 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 you can know the deep things of God. Your ear can hear and your eye can see and your heart can know. Yes, yes. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10, our blessing. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So how do I know those? It says here, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, heart hadn't been revealed, but it has. It hasn't in the past, but it has now, folks. You have everything you need to know the deep things of God. Yes, you can know that. Look at verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You look at the neighbor next to you and tell me what you think your neighbor sitting next to you is thinking. Just don't tell them nothing. They don't know unless you use what? Words. Now, if you begin to tell them what you're thinking because you use words, they now know what you're thinking because you use words to explain to them. God wants us to know what He is thinking. So how is He going to do that? He will take the Spirit of God, who will use the Word of God, and tell you exactly what He is thinking in your world. Y'all watch that program, Waters World? He says, this is my world. Folks, this is your world. What are you thinking? What is God telling you to do in His world? And in order for you to know, He will tell you, and you will know. Listen, let me move on to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, God is simply saying, I'm going to use words, and I'm going to take my Spirit. I'll explain those to you. And I will use spiritual things on spiritual things. I don't know how far you are in the depth of God's Word. Some of you much more deeper than I am. Some of you still learning. But we take what we do know, and we build upon that. And as we take what we know and we build on that, pretty soon you will surprise yourself at the sum of the things that God has revealed to you. As a matter of fact, you will be teaching a class, teachers, and God will reveal something to you, and you'll say, wow, that's cool. Yes, God revealed that to me. He done that through His Word. And you just keep growing that way. Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, we learn God's Word. And now we're growing, learning the deeper things of God. I'm going to give you a place you can go, and you can see how well you're doing on learning the deep things of God. I would say turn in your Bible, not now, but later on when you get home for a homework assignment, turn to Matthew chapter 13. There's over 50 verses there, and several illustrations about seeds. And what is some of the miraculous things, wisdom God wants you to know as you study those seeds? Some of you look at that and you'll say, well, I know that. Yes, you know that because God has been revealing some good truths to you. Just later on, turn to Matthew chapter 13 and read some of those, some wisdoms. Let me move on to the next verse. I think we've got verse 14. For the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He's just baffling around out here in the world, wishing that he could learn more. Matter of fact, he would like somebody to tell him about the Lord, but he can't quite get it. He can't until he goes to the cross. The cross is where we begin learning the deeper things of God. So the first step we go to is the cross. Once I see what Christ means to me, He is my Lord and my Savior. And if I don't first make Him my Savior by being born again, born of the Spirit, then I can't know that. But once I know that, then the things of God become sharper to me. And now no longer are they foolishness to me. Now they are just words of wisdom, and I'm so thankful to have those. But he, in verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. It's about discernment. I'm learning to be able to discern the things that God reveals to me. Now I can know them. I don't worry so much about being judged a man when I know that I'm pleasing God. You can judge me if you like, but I know the real judge in this. The real judge is God, and He's the one that I have to answer to. When I first started reading these scriptures, I read to you about the attitude and the spirit in which Paul came to Corinth, and he began to speak, and he said, I wanted to come humbly because I got to share with these people the holiness of God. I got to share with them what God says. And I'm trembling. I'm scared to death. My wife will tell you it scares me to stand in this pulpit. Brother Tony takes his shoes off. I would have taken mine off, but if I did, I wouldn't have been able to look over the pulpit. But he's a big, strong, tall guy. And he takes his shoes off because he knows he's standing on holy ground. So we humbly come before you. And your pastor, by the way, he is a gem. That guy loves the Lord. And he wants so much to tell us God's truth. And we must pray for him constantly. But he says it's a discernment that God gives us in his word. And I think that through and I realize that I don't have to worry about being judged by man. If he wants to judge me, and he will, it doesn't matter, folks. The one that counts is God. You must please him. There are major decisions you have to make in your life. What matters is God. You're going to answer to him regardless of what anyone else tells you. So just humbly come before him. And when you share Christ with others, do it humbly and then let it go. Let God intervene. See, it is the Spirit of God that raises the dead, not you. God's business is raising the dead, and he sends his Holy Spirit. You tell them how they can have life through Christ, and then you leave the rest to God and watch what he does. He's the one that raises the dead. Amen? Lastly, it's about having the mind of Christ. And I thought this was outstanding. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who has known the mind of the Lord that God can instruct that person? Who does that? The one who has the mind of Christ. Can you have the mind of Christ? You have it if you have the Spirit of God and, listen, if you're born again and you have the Spirit of God, and if you take the Word of God and hide it deep in the recesses of your life, then you can know him. It is the Spirit of God who reveals the deep truths of God to you from the Word of God. I invite you, open God's Word. Let him reveal himself to you that you might know him, know his Word, and grow in a knowledge of him. And see what only he can do in your life. So your invitation today would be simply this. God, help me know the deeper things of you, of your word. Take my spirit that you give to me, your Holy Spirit that lives within my heart, and reveal to me truths, deep things. I wished I could tell you all the deep things. I wished I knew more deep things. I can only tell you how to find them. Take the Spirit of God. Let him reveal to you truths of the Word of God. And you will grow in deeper things. What are we going to sing, my brother?